Hello, I'm Michael.
I'm Radek.
And this is The Podcast.
A sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books to read and want to share with you.
As well as technology and productivity, which is what we do by day, working on our app, Nosby.
Or whatever else comes to our minds.
Yeah, so after a long technology show last week, about our beloved headphones. Again, yours are called...
The Solitude.
And mine are called Serenity. So, we are crazy. We name our headphones. After that, let's dive back into a bit of productivity and a little bit, you know, back to rituals or things that help us, yeah, you know, get more done.
The usual stuff. Yeah, and probably this will be a short one. I just wanted to share a tip, I guess, that I've learned from Deep Work. This is a book we've discussed a long time ago. I read it close to a year ago, and I think it inspired both of us greatly in terms of how we think of our work and what we prioritize. But there was a smaller bit in there that I kind of ignored for a while, but then got back to it and found it to be this small habit that's kind of useful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I call it the shutdown ritual. I think that's the word the book used as well. And it has to do with what you do after work. So this revolves around the idea that idleness is good for your brain. Just having nothing to do, nothing to focus deeply on is important. It's just that, you know, it's a counter, it's the other side of the coin to the deep work of deep work, right? Like when you work, you want to have as much time in the state where you're at the highest level of focus with no distractions, just, you know, very very much staying in flow and doing your best, most productive, most creative work, all that stuff. But it's really easy to have this spill out to the rest of the day. And kind of, I think especially for us, when we work remotely, we work from homes, and a lot of people, a lot of managers imagine that, well, if I can see them, how do I know they're working? Well, my experience is that the much bigger danger is not having the discipline to stop working and stop thinking about work after the work is done.
So what you just mean that the shutdown ritual is about shutting down after work. You just shut down and that's it.
Yeah. You're shutting it down and just leaving it, for the next day. You're just, you know, the idea is to, not just stop work, but stop the focused mode, the deep work mode. The idea is that, you know, attention fatigue is real, right? It's like this limited resource. I think a lot of people find it myself that I find it easier to do my best work in the morning because I'm fresh, and after I do a bunch of good deep work, even if I had a great day, very productive, after a while I feel exhausted. I can't focus anymore. It's just, you know, it's I used up the resources for the day, the way to replenish that is not to try to keep working for the rest of the day and spread out little bits of work here and there. We sometimes do that. We sometimes have a break in the middle of the day and then get back to work. That's fine too. But, you know, it's also worth appreciating that just as when you work, it's great to just be in your deepest state of work. When you relax, it's best to relax really well too. Like have this, I think there's been this phrase in a book, directed attention replenishment. Something like that. So like, it's if you have something to kind of lightly occupy your attention, like, you know, a walk in the park in the nature, like when you can when you have something to lightly focus on, but like something very simple. So like that's the best kind of environment to relax, and our attention kind of recharges in that space. Anyway, here's the point. It's worth committing to the shutdown that after you, after the day is close to over, you commit to not doing anything work-related before the next morning. Otherwise, it just slowly eats away at your attention, and you just you won't have as much energy, as much fresh attention the next day. It's usually better to, you know, even spend the same amount of time, but compress it to your block of work in a day, and then after that, just nothing.
I remember when I was still a consultant before NOSB, so like, you know, ages ago, but still, BN before NOSB, so it's a thing. And I visited one of my customers. I was helping them sell their sculptures on the internet. They have this shop called buysculpture.com. Mm-hmm. And I was there in Madrid, in Spain, visiting them. And I was sitting in their office helping the CEO with some stuff and, you know, doing with strategy and things like that and what we should do next and everything. And then at some point, like around 3 p.m., the office workers who were there in the office, like managing the office and everything, they just, you know, stood up, took their clothes and said, you know, bye-bye. So we're going home. It's done. I'm like, what? How do they know it's done? I mean, the day is done. There's still so much to do. Like, can you actually do that? Can you just, like, you know, walk out on your work, you know? For me, you know, being this inexperienced, you know, person, you know, IT geek working from home, it was really a blur when I would stop working. So for me, this, like, it was a shock to see them just, you know, stand up, just leave the office and say, you know, for today, it's done. Like, mm-hmm. It was really hard. I it was a big shock, you know?
Right. So, and especially that you were a freelancer, you're making products for other people. I think this is much more natural for people who, you know, work for a company or employees. Sometimes it's still hard. Sometimes, you know, people keep writing you emails all day long and all that stuff. But for many people, this is, for most people, perhaps, it's, but not necessarily most people listening to this podcast, it's quite natural that you go to work and when you're back, you don't care anymore. But
yeah, but what I'm just saying is that, what you just said in this, you know, intro to this show, that we have to know when, you know, when we should say it's done for today, you know, mm-hmm. to recognize the boundaries, because in our field, there's always things to do. Like there's still so much to do. I mean, man, like, just look at your scope of things you want to do for NOSB. So, like, it's crazy stuff that, you know, we still have lots of things to do. So this is really like an act of courage or like decision and like a conscious decision to say, you know, it's done for today. Like, for today, I'm done. And especially, as you said, especially when we are working from home, it's really hard. It's really hard to say you're done because you know you're not done, really. Mm-hmm. But to say you're done for today.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're working in a creative field, if you work from home and you don't have the natural kind of time boundary, if you work for a small company, like I do, where like everyone has a lot of responsibility, or if you're a manager or something like that, I mean, there's always so much stuff to you can take on, and I think we, in our industry, and I think in the US, it's also particularly prevalent that there's this thing in the culture that overworking yourself is culturally rewarded. Like, you know, being this person who sticks to working 8 hours a day, like, oh, why aren't you a team player? Like, why can't you be this hero who works all day, all night to get this done, right? It's very unhealthy.
Yeah, I always had this, you know, this metaphor of a difference between German office workers and American office workers, that the the Americans, like, you know, would stay as long as it took, and then the first person to leave would be the loser to leave the office. And then the German office workers would think that everybody who stays in the office after 5 p.m. is a loser because, you know, they didn't get things done until 5 p.m. So
that's really good.
Different change of mindset, you know?
I imagine Spanish people would also be more in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah, so this thing of like making the decision of stopping for today and how you do it, this is what we're going to discuss today when we start. But that's the thing, it's really hard, and especially in a no office work, and especially in a work where we are not, you know, as you said, the boundaries blur between work and home. So I'm curious, you know, about your thoughts on that, because it's really hard. And as I said, you know, for me back then, I didn't have, I think I was just married, so I didn't have lots of responsibilities. Like, you know, I was just married, but I didn't have kids yet and everything. So for me, this line was very blurred at that time. Mm-hmm. But now I have kids. Now we have to finish the podcast, and I have to say I'm done because I have to pick up my girls from school. So, like, there are things that happen, and then I will have to create the boundaries. Otherwise, it's a blur.
Right. So there's a couple of things to actually live this way, and not just talk in theory that, it's a good thing, right? The obvious one, it just takes a tiny bit of discipline. Like, you have to say, okay, like, it's five. Okay, I finished, right? The other thing is culture. So this is a problem because, like, you can't necessarily change the culture. Like, if you're just an employee, and if you live in a or work for a company where it's expected for you to overwork, where that can be a problem. But if you have any control over that, like if you can influence, well, I think as an industry, we should push towards more healthy boundaries, and kind of culturally making people realize that they can give themselves license to finish work on time and not work overtime. And not feel like this makes them worse. They should feel like this is their thing. And if you're overworking, then something, then that's a problem. And not when you work, you know, just the 8 hours. Then the third thing is creating a structure for yourself. So that's why, even though I can, work any time I want, as long as I do my, you know, my full time, so my 40 hours or so in a week. But in general, I tend to literally work 9 to 5. So the flexibility is great when I need it, when I want it, when I want to go somewhere in the middle of the day, or when I just want to move some days around because it's kind of easier for me, or when I'm traveling and I just, you know, need some time one day to go on a train or something like that. But that's an exception to the rule. Setting these boundaries for yourself, even if you don't have to. So, like, when you work from home or when you work for yourself, is very important. But then the fourth component, and that's the thing I wanted to discuss in particular, is the shutdown ritual. So the little habit that I find really helpful to transition from finishing work to the rest of the day, especially if you don't have the natural transition of commuting back from an office to home, but you're still at home.
Like, for example, in your case, you have your home office in your bedroom, right? I mean, so, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. But for example, in my case, I have a dedicated place, dedicated room for my home office. So for me, this and it's on the top floor.
Yeah.
So for me, going down from the top floor, you know, from my home office, you know, at some point, it starts the whole routine, starts the whole thing, because I know that, you know, I'm done for today. I'm not coming back to work here.
Okay. So here's the meat. The ritual, the shutdown ritual, as I do it. First of all, I have a reminder set up to remind me that, you know, the day is over, the workday is over in 15 minutes. So I just use I use calendar for that. You can use anything, but to me it's just easier. I just have a, you know, a 0 minutes essentially kind of meeting set in the calendar, and 15 minutes before that, so before you know, at 4:45 on most days, it just shows me on my Mac, on my watch, shutdown, right? And like that's the reminder that, oh, okay, I shouldn't keep working because that's the end of the day. And then when that happens and I just, you know, finish whatever I was just doing, what I do is I look at my list of tasks in Nosby. So the point is to tie up all the loose ends so that you have the psychological sense of closure, of completion. Because if you just stop work, but you've worked on so many things, you've touched a few things, and then you finish work and you have these thoughts in your mind. Oh, did I finish that? Should I, you know, did I delegate this task back to whoever, right? Like all those little things. And so the point of the shutdown ritual is to create this sense of completion for yourself, that you have the sense of safety that all that had to be done has been done, and there's nothing you have to think about anymore for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it makes sense, especially because you might have forgotten about a few things, and really to finish this up, I really like this, and I do something very similar. I don't have a reminder for that, but I do something similar. I also, like, at the end of the day, I go through my priority list once again to see which loose ends I can still, you know, finish up and have, like, have this last spurge of, like, trying to tackle as many small things that which I just forgot or just you know, put off.
Right. So I kind of, so again, I review my priority list one last time. I, you know, check off what I've done. I see what has been completed, etc. I look at the you know, new comments to see if there's anything I should know about, and if there isn't, like, I have the confidence that nothing escaped my attention. And then the next part, which I think is really important, is I plan the next day. So this is what we discussed multiple times. Like, for example, in your week review, it's I find it's very useful to kind of pre-decide on what you'll do next week. And even if the plan ends up changing, that's fine. But the fact itself that you've done the planning is worthwhile anyway. Because if the plan doesn't change, then it's easier to, you know, jump right into the work and not start the next day from going into the distractions, reviewing all the new comments, all the tasks that people have delegated to you, like everything that have popped up because it's the due date or the, you know, whatever. And then you spend the first half an hour of the day figuring out what to do. And it's still the morning, you know, you're still kind of tired from sleep and and so maybe you start working on the easy stuff. And that's not the best. But if you've pre-decided on, okay, here are the two most important things for tomorrow, and maybe these few things, these other things, if I have time, then you can start the next day, jump right into the most important thing without looking at, you know, distracting yourself with all the little other things. You can leave that for later. But as part of shutting down for the day, you make a plan for tomorrow. And to me, that also includes looking at calendar in Nosby. So I look at the things that have been planned before for tomorrow. And sometimes I change that. I decide, okay, that actually, I won't do that tomorrow. I'll do some other day. Maybe I'll plan some other things that haven't been planned for tomorrow. But I just, you know, I make sure that my system, which has all the tasks, all the stuff I'm doing, reflects what I'm actually going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I can attest that any day which wasn't planned before, but I had to wait, I had to plan and figure out the plan in the morning while I was, you know, like figuring out things, wasn't a good day. Like literally yeah. wasn't. Like every day that was planned before, even if it was just a vague, like, you know, 3 points, like three, you know, tasks, like three big things just for tomorrow, or two big things, like just, but any kind of direction was better than having nothing and just waking up and, you know, as you said, in the morning being still sleepy, trying to figure out what the heck I'm going to do today. So yeah. So this is like, this is, yeah, you're totally right. I mean, but I like it that you do it at the end of your work day, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's really cool that you do it then, because yeah, I'm going to steal this from you because I think I'm doing it just always in the evening, very late. So
yeah. See, I tried doing that. So one thing I don't think I mentioned is I have this kind of physical notebook. It's like a book style calendar. There's just like an empty page for each day. And right. this is like what I use it for is exactly this, to plan the next day, not just for work, but for all of my day, to kind of, you know, set myself up for the day. And I did that in the evening. But that's a problem. If you're doing it on the evening, like, first of all, I end up having to think about work in the evening if I try to plan the, you know, two most important things from work. And that's not great. But most importantly, evenings are messy, right? Like your work usually follows a schedule, even if you have more flexibility than that. But in the evening, you know, sometimes you're just out for the whole evening and you go back really late and then you're tired, you forget, or you go right back, you know, right to sleep, and you forget doing that. And then you don't have a plan, right? And you have this problem of trying to figure out what's the thing you actually should be doing in the morning. And so for me, like at the end of the workday, I plan the next day at work, but also the next day in general. So just for myself personally. But because it's at the end of the workday, I have the confidence that I'll do it every day and not just on some evenings. And then two more things that I do as part of this little ritual is every morning, the dev team at Nozbe at 10 a.m., we have this short 15-minute kind of meeting inspired by Scrum. I suppose we mostly do it, at least that's how I feel. Mostly do it because we don't work in an office, so it's kind of nice to just chat about stuff for 15 minutes. But essentially every person shares what they did yesterday and what they plan to do today, and maybe like what blocking issues they have. So this helps us know what everyone is kind of working on. We could just do it over chat, but because we want to kind of hear each other and see each other every morning, at least for 15 minutes, we do it this way. And so as I'm planning the next day in Nozbe, I also just, you know, make a task due tomorrow, 10 a.m., with a very short note with what I did today, so tomorrow, yesterday, and what I'm planning to do tomorrow, right? So this way, like, when you have the meeting, like, I know what I want to say. Like, I don't have to, what was I planning, right? So it's kind of easier this way.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
And then after I'm done with that, and I see, okay, so I've kind of shut down for the day. I have nothing else at work I have to worry about for the rest of the day. You know, I use Nozbe for everything. I have lots of personal reminders and little personal tasks there. So I, you know, turn on the filter and priority to only show tasks and projects with the personal label. So essentially I'm filtering out all the work stuff, and I kind of have this, I like using Nozbe mostly in, you know, with a very narrow window. So I don't see all the distracting counters with all the new comments that, like, I don't have to think about that. It doesn't distract me. I can use it all day long. And when I turn on the filter, I don't see the work stuff anymore. but I can still see the reminders that are for myself. And so the point is that so the thing I do kind of, you know, right after kind of shutting down for the workday is I also review the personal tasks I have in Nozbe. Because the problem I've had is over time I've been using Nozbe more and more for all the personal things. But because I want to shut down after work, not think about work, I'd kind of avoid looking at Nozbe because it would have like it would be too strongly connected with work in my mind.
Okay.
Right? And I would end up ignoring the things in the system that was supposed to help me.
Right.
Right? And so being part of like one of the steps in this little habit, in this ritual that I do at the end of every workday is I ensure that I've looked at the list of all the priority items in my personal projects, that I'm not ignoring anything that I did want to or have to do today.
But it's actually a pretty neat trick to switch Nozbe to like this is something I've never done completely, but I think it's a good idea to have this one label for private stuff and mm-hmm. just really tag each private project with this private label.
Yeah.
And then this way you can basically change Nozbe to a private only thing because you just put on the filter in priority list and in the project list put on the label private. So this mm-hmm. way you completely change the application to a private mode kind of way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and this way you can use it privately as much. And so it's really a good tip there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. yeah, we just did, you know, we've been thinking a lot in about the future of Nozbe and, you know, how to try to encourage people to use it more, not just for work, but for everything. And, you know, this is kind of what we've been trying to figure out. But even now, like, you can really do it. It's not kind of part of the design of the app, but because of its flexibility, you can very easily use labels to mark personal projects as personal and just turn on the filter and priority and just not see the work stuff. So I find it genuinely useful.
Yeah, and especially, you know, in this, like, because we use the same muscle memory and, you know, muscles, you know, to get organized at work and at life. So there is an option to use just a different tool for private stuff, like a more simple tool, because you're like, you don't need all this stuff. But on the other hand, like, I have a few projects I share with my wife, so why wouldn't I use Nozbe then, you know? But that will be private projects, but I would just still use, you know, sharing features and delegating tasks and things like that. So why would I need a different, you know, tool for that? So yeah, that's a good hint to just really, but the good hint is really to make this silo, like to really, like with the label, just to turn Nozbe into like a really, you know, fully fledged private task manager for the evening.
Yeah, I think an unappreciated little design detail in the Nozbe app on Mac and Windows is like if you have the native app, like you can make the window really narrow and then the sidebar hides. So you don't see the distracting, like all the other distracting stuff. You just see your priority list. So the actually important things, right? And yeah, as for using one tool, you know, in the past, I also considered using one of our competitors, for example, to kind of have different silos for work and for personal stuff. But I think one kind of, aside from just the fact that I know this tool really well and, you know, it's nice having things in one place, I love the little things like the quick add on the Mac. Like, okay, this is, you know, totally an advertisement and also I made this feature, so, but I love how, like, in 3 seconds, I can just hit the hotkey on my keyboard, no matter where I am in the system, and just type in a task, like, anything pops to my mind, And I type in a few words and add it to inbox, and then later I move it to the right place, or I do it right away with hashtags. And it's just like, it's so quick, and it's a muscle memory thing, right? Like, I don't have to rely on my brain to remember those things like that. If it pops to my mind and I know, oh, it's something I have to check later or do later or something like that, I just add it and I think about it. And having two different tools for that, it would make it a bit more cumbersome, because even though, I don't know others, but I think Todoist has something similar. They're not as good. But, you know, having two different tools and different hotkeys, and then I'd have to keep both turned on, like both apps running, so I can use either. It just becomes cumbersome. So, yeah.
No, totally makes sense. And this way you simplify your life, and really with this, I mean, really with this trick of this one label for all the private stuff, I think it's already a good tip for now, and a good way to just accommodate Nozbe for now. Not ideal, but pretty good. Okay, so for me, this is something I'm going to do this Friday. So to use the label private more extensively, because I think is a really good way to do it. But apart from that, I have another thing that I do in the evening. So as a part of my shutdown routine for the whole day, is that I write journal in the evening as well.
Right.
And you know, we talked about journaling, and I would like to link to the, you know, episodes where we talked about it, and also my post about journaling, where I also use a workflow. And basically what I do in the evening is that I write my journal. I answer a few questions. I write things like that are on my mind. And I do it on my iPhone, basically. It's not a, you know, long journal entry. When I feel like writing more, I take the iPad, because it still goes to the same, you know, text file in Dropbox, so it doesn't matter which app I use. But as a part of the journal, there is this thing that I write three most important tasks for tomorrow. So this is what you just said, that you are planning the day for tomorrow. So for me, it's, you know, this is how I do it. Like I still, you know, when I write this, I reflect a bit on work, right? I might even, you know, check, you know, the calendar, check Nozbe, just for a few seconds, but not really extensively. I don't do any tasks anymore. I just, you know, just to have a reference point, I check Nozbe, my priority list, I check my calendar for tomorrow, and then I write down in the journal three most important tasks for tomorrow. It's a good thing that you do it as a part of your, you know, shutdown routine after work directly. I think it's pretty smart. I might try something like that in the future. But for me, anyway, having these, you know, three tasks, or, you know, three or two, or like how much I really need, is really crucial to write it down.
Yeah.
You know, in the evening before going to sleep, just to, you know, to have this, you know, this, it takes me like the whole thing, the whole journaling and everything, it takes me like 5 minutes, maybe 10, like maximum.
Yeah.
But if I don't do it, if I skip on these 5 to 10 minutes, next day is just bad. It's not as good as it could have been. And for me, this gives, like, this helps me sleep. You know, we talked about sleeping smarter and everything. It just helps me sleep that I have this, you know, it's written down there, you know, it's there, you know, in this, in this journal. So in the morning I can retrieve it and I can check it, and I can just check it on in my journal. What are my three most important things? And start with the first one, just right away, without looking at my task manager, without looking at new comments that just came in or anything like that. I can just focus on getting stuff done. And what I did, I was playing with the workflow that I had for journaling and everything. So I figured out a workflow that I could really, with one tap, easily retrieve these three most important tasks. So I can just pop them up on my screen, you know, whenever I want. So it's like, you know, this silo that I just have these three things written down and just pops it back in. So this way, I'm like, okay, so these are the three things I have to focus. So this is my part of my shutdown routine also for the evening.